God be with you, and welcome to Knox United Church in Parksville. We recognize that we are on the traditional territory of the Pentlatch people, ancestors of the Qualicum and Nanoose Nations, with whom we are working toward truth and reconciliation. We are delighted that you are joining us here at Knox, where we strive to live out our values of inclusion, compassion, joy, and spirituality, and our mission, where we are called to build community that cares, shares, and dares. Lots of you have been asking, when are we going to be reopening? When are we going to be able to gather together as a community of faith? The council met on Tuesday night, and the crisis team has been working very hard at looking at what regional is recommending, what the province is recommending, and what BC WorkSafe is recommending. And so they put together a several-page document. And what they have concluded is that for our demographic, because we have many people that are over 60, it is best for us to remain in phase one, which includes continuing on with virtual worship, but allowing people to come in small groups. But there's a lot of protocol that has to happen in order to keep people safe for that. And that for worship, we're excited about exploring the possibility of backyard worship so that we could be outside where it's safe, but yet still we can be in community in small groups. And so if you are interested throughout the summer in either hosting a backyard worship or in leading a backyard worship with the help of some template, please let me know or Charlene Donnelly, who is the team lead of Worship of the Arts, and we will start creating those worship services, and people can sign up to go to a certain host's home and to worship together and reconnect as a community. And hopefully through the summer, we'll be able to reconnect with one another and see each other face to face, which would be wonderful. So, let us invite the presence of God to be with us by lighting our Christ candle, which reminds us that the light of Christ is present among us always, enlightening us. And I invite each one of us to pass the peace with one another in your heart, in your imaginations, with family, with friends, with members of this community, with those with whom you are perhaps alienated, and reconnect as we are reminded this week with Chelsea and Alex singing that God on Father's Day is a good, good Father God.
Perfect in all of your ways. are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, it's love so undeniable. I can hardly speak.
We are reminded this week as we complete our six-part series on the nature of God that God is indeed good and generous. And with that in mind, we sing together the hymn, Let Us With a Gladsome Mind Praise Our God Forever Kind. Gracious and good God, the source of all life, we give thanks that you pour your very self into all of creation, that your goodness infuses all things, and that when you looked upon all of creation, when you gazed upon the work of the universe that you created, you saw that we were all very good. Be with us in this time together and with you. Search our hearts that we might know our own goodness, even as we understand that you are pure goodness and love, that there is no hate in you. It is not possible. Help us to experience that goodness and great love. Help us to know that we are held forever in your kindness. All this we ask in the name of the one who showed us what goodness and generosity looks like, the one who gave all out of love for us. Amen. I'd invite Alex to read our scripture today.
Jesus reminds us about the goodness and generosity of God here in Luke 11, verses 5 to 13. And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if a child asks for a fish, will you give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will you give a scorpion? If you then, who can be bad, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Luke 18, 18 to 19. A certain ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone.
Today we are completing our 6-part series on the nature of our 6G God, a God who is gift and similarly gifts us, a God who guides, a God who is gracious, a God in whom we see great glory in everything we look at, a God who is the very ground of being. And now today on Father's Day, we reflect on the goodness and generosity of a fatherly God. You and I have been experiencing so much turmoil and chaos in these last few months. And so, when we're in the midst of adversity, it is sometimes hard for us to see the good in a situation, or in leaders, or in ourselves. So what is it that we mean when we say that God is good or a person is good? What is our definition? The word good does not come from the word God, which means to call forth, as the God of the universe is the one who called forth life itself. The English word good comes from the Old English word God, which means to be kind and beneficial, of benefit, to be generous of spirit, to be open-hearted toward another. For most people, the nature of God's goodness is the attribute of God that presents most difficulty for us, because it is often paired with God's power. God's goodness is often called into question by people who say, "Well, if God is so good, then why does God allow so much suffering in this world?" It is the most difficult question for people of faith to wrestle with, and it is often the single most reason that someone will give up on believing in God or refuse to be in relationship with a God who allows suffering or even inflicts suffering. And why wouldn't we reject a God who does that? For as Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote in his book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, we cannot uphold God's power at the expense of God's goodness. Because often they're seen as mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist. To be all-powerful and all-loving, there are many times when that is contradicted. We cannot say that God is all good and wants the very, very best for us, and also say that God is all-powerful and could heal a sick child with cancer, but chooses not to and end that suffering. allowing someone to suffer and refuse to intercede cannot be considered goodness. Rather, it's opposite of evil. Having the power and capacity to alleviate suffering, which an all-powerful God would have, but choose not to in order that someone learn a mysterious greater higher purpose or lesson, that would be the work of a sociopath. It is attributing to God attributes of cruelty and abuse and calling it power. We cannot say that God is all-powerful and therefore capable of causing earthquakes and tsunamis, and is also therefore capable of stopping those same earthquakes or tsunamis, but chooses not to for some higher purpose that we cannot understand, and still try to argue that God is all good and all loving. It's a contradiction. It is imperative that if we are to help alleviate suffering in the world, we need to make a shift in our thinking that God is inflicting or allowing the suffering. Because if God is inflicting or allowing suffering, then that gives us permission to behave as God behaves and allow for suffering to continue. If God is the cause of suffering, so can we be, and so we do regularly. Creating an image of God who allows or even intentionally and perversely inflicts suffering somehow for our own good is dangerous and the root of so much destructive systems that we have allowed to persist. So we need to uphold God's goodness and love and let an all-powerful God go if people are ever going to take people of faith seriously. Because I can place my trust in a God who is all-loving and all-good and is vulnerable and suffers with me and weeps with me and cannot change the course of a poor choice that I make or someone else makes or change the course of nature's reality. But I could not place my life in the hands of an all-powerful God who is somehow allowing pain and suffering and insisting that that somehow is also goodness. Jesus is very clear in our two readings this morning that Alex read, that the nature of God is goodness, and that goodness looks like meeting the needs of someone, benefiting and wanting the best for another. This is goodness. This is the argument that Jesus is offering to the disciples when he lifts up the goodness of God and argues that God gives good gifts, and God's goodness far exceeds human goodness. Jesus said to them, "Let's say you're in bed with your children, and it's midnight, and you've been sleeping for several hours because it's been dark, and so you've gone to bed at sunset, and suddenly you are awakened by knocking, a ringing of the doorbell at midnight, and you hear and recognize a friend's voice saying, 'Wake up, wake up. I've had unexpected company. I have nothing to serve them. I need 3 loaves of bread.' And you, in your stupor and confused, say, No, I'm sleeping. My children are with me in bed. I don't want to wake them up.' You never wake a sleeping child. We all know that. But yet, not because you love your friend or that you are necessarily good-hearted, but because it's annoying to have your friend continue knocking, you get out of bed and give them the 3 loaves. And Jesus said, so if you can do that, so much more is God a giving God, a gracious God. And he goes on to say, you are a parent. If your child asks for a fish, would you give them a snake? Or if your child asks for an egg, would you give them something, a scorpion, that would harm them? It's a rhetorical question. Of course we wouldn't. So then, if we humans who are capable of doing terrible things, can give good gifts to our children, then of course God gives great, wonderful gifts. It is not even in the heart of God to think of doing otherwise. So Jesus reasons, if you who can be selfish and irritated, but yet you still get up and give your friend what they need, how much more does God want to give to us? God gives God's very self to us, says Jesus. And in our next passage, when the young man asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to experience eternal life?" That is to say, the presence of the fullness of God in my life. What must I do to experience that deep sense of God's fulfillment within myself? How can I fill my emptiness? Jesus doesn't even begin by answering the question. Instead, Jesus stops and says to the young person, "Why on earth do you call me good? I'm just a human, just like you. I'm a mix of good and not so good. Only God is pure goodness." In this way, Jesus is giving us permission to be human, that we often fall from grace. We aren't always perfect or good or kind or giving. Sometimes we can be selfish and self-interested. "Don't expect me or any human to be good as God," says Jesus. "It just isn't possible all the time." And he reminds us of our humanity. We can aspire to be good and loving and kind, but sometimes we fail. In the life of Jesus, we do not see a perfect human. Jesus gets angry, he gets frustrated. And so Jesus is making the point, "I'm not as good as God. Why do you insist on calling me that?" Jesus is clear here. We humans, including Jesus, are riddled with selfishness. However, we often do the good and right thing. But God is the only one who is good and open-hearted and kind toward us all the time, simply because that is the nature of God. God is perfect love, which is to say complete love, and cannot be otherwise. God is incapable of hate. It's not in the nature of God at all. It's not possible for God to hate us. This is a very different view of God that Jesus is offering his disciples and us. And yet we still struggle to get it. We still struggle with the idea that God loves us with an unconditional love, and that even though we are not wholly good, God loves us regardless. We are deeply held always in the nature and love of God, because God cannot do otherwise. God will always be there for us out of pure goodness, working toward bringing goodness forth. For Christians, if we truly believe that we catch a glimpse of the divine in the life and death of Jesus, then we cannot possibly uphold the concept of an all-powerful God as much as we would like to argue that we can. The divine we glimpse in Jesus on the cross is not a very powerful God at all. The God of Jesus is exceedingly vulnerable and naked and defeated. As Jürgen Moltmann calls Jesus, the crucified God. If God is in Jesus on the cross, then our God is not an all-powerful God. The God in Jesus we have glimpsed is completely vulnerable. So why do we continue to insist on a God who is all-powerful at the expense of God's love? Do we think, says Kushner, that we are somehow adding to God's glory if we say that God is all-powerful? Is it easier to believe in a God that is in control than a God who is at the mercy of human beings and our free will and our destructive choices. And so today I ask you, would you rather put your trust in a God who is all-powerful and allows the suffering? Or would you rather put your heart and faith in a God who is all-loving and is at the mercy of human choices just as we are? It reminds me of the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a young man in a concentration camp during World War II. And he's sitting in his cell, theologian, where they have put him there. And he wrote in his journal before he was executed, "You ask, where is God? And outside my window, I see a young man that they are executing. And I say, there, there in that young man, there is God. In the midst of suffering, that is where we look and find the goodness of God in the vulnerability and know that God is weeping with us. For the goodness of God is wrapped up in weakness and vulnerability and in laying down one's life for the sake of another. The goodness of God is evidenced in the Good Father. And we know lots of good fathers who put aside their own ego ambitions in order to spend time with their families, to care for their children and their partner. The goodness of God is evidenced in the good parent who does everything possible to align themselves with the Spirit of God, who gifts and guides and offers grace and goodness and generosity to their children. The goodness of God is evidenced in the person who spends their whole life working for justice and trying to make the world better for those who are suffering and protests, even at great risk, for their health. The goodness of God is evidenced in the one who shares their gifts of money, even then when they have little to share, or to share their time with us, even when they don't have a lot of time, or the one who prays for us, for our well-being, even when that person has harmed them. The goodness of God is evidenced in the one who is treated unjustly and yet chooses to forgive the person who has hurt them. The goodness of God is evidenced in those who spend time and money training in the healing arts to bring healing to others. The goodness of God is evidenced anytime one person seeks to benefit someone else. That's what the word goodness means. And the goodness of God is evidenced in the incredible beauty and extravagance and generosity of the natural world that is teeming all the time with incredible life and productivity, growing life where life shouldn't even be possible. Jesus reminds us today that it is the very essence of God to be good and generous, an outpouring of love and goodwill toward us, intended to only benefit us. Our God only wants the very best for us. It is impossible for the nature of God to be anything less than to be an outpouring of love and goodwill toward us and all of creation. God is the one who is available at all hours of the night, who answers the door when we knock, no matter when we come seeking or how we come seeking. The one who only wants to give us good gifts. And so today on this Father's Day, we celebrate the goodness of God the Father and the goodness of all good fathers. And we complete our reflection on the nature of God, who we have celebrated for these last 6 weeks as sheer gift, as the one who guides, the one who is so full of infinite grace, and will always forgive our human shortcomings. A God who is the very ground of our existence, in whom we live and move and have our being, and a God who is pure goodness and generosity of spirit. I'd like to share with you a story that June McIntyre sent me after our Zoom Bible study on Wednesday. It's a reminder that there is a benevolent, good energy infusing all things, and that in the midst of great adversity, in this time that we are going through right now as a whole worldwide community or in our own individual lives, the Spirit of God is continually at work seeking to bring about greater goodness in the world, even though we might not be able to see it. There was a visiting pastor who attended a men's breakfast in the middle of a rural farming area of the country. The group had asked an older farmer, decked out in his bib overall jeans, to say grace for the morning breakfast. The farmer began his grace. "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The visiting pastor opened one eye to glance at the farmer and wonder, "Where is this going?" Then the farmer loudly proclaimed, "Lord, I hate lard." Now the minister was growing concerned. Without missing a beat, the farmer continued, "And Lord, you know I don't care much for raw white flour." The pastor once again opened his other eye to glance around the room and see that he wasn't the only one beginning to squirm and feel a little uncomfortable. Then the farmer closed his prayer with this, "But Lord, when you mix all those things together and bake them, I do love them fresh baked biscuits. So Lord, when things come up that I don't like, when life gets hard, when we don't understand what you are trying to say to us, help us just to relax and wait until you're all finished mixing. Because I trust that it will probably be even better than biscuits." "Amen," he said. "May it be so. Amen." Sandy has put together a Father's Day slideshow celebrating all of the good fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and uncles and children in a slideshow which you will be receiving through a congregational email. So if you'd like to receive that, please let the church know, and our office administrator, Jane, will be happy to send that off to you in a congregational email. Let us celebrate the goodness of God with Walter Farquharson, a former moderator of the United Church from Saskatchewan, who wrote the words, "God who gives to life its goodness."
Creator of all joy.
Let us gather together in prayer as we wait for the singing bowl to center us. All-loving God, we give thanks for your goodness, a goodness that we can count on, a depend on. This day we give thanks for all good fathers, for all those who are tender-hearted toward their children. We give thanks for fathers who have loved us well, those who are no longer with us, but are in spirit as you are in spirit. Those fathers who are far away with whom we cannot hug because of COVID or because of distance. This day we remember all those who have been like fathers to us. Those men who have nurtured us and guided us, who have wanted the very best for us, and demonstrated what that looks like, what it looks like to be mature and loving and kind, to be vulnerable and encouraging. May all good fathers be celebrated well today. For those who are regretful and wishing they could be better, we pray for the strength to do that. Help us all to be better parents, to be better humans for one another. Oh God, we give thanks that you are so good to each one of us.
God is so good.
Pray this day for all those who are impacted by COVID-19 around the world. As numbers increase in Canada and in most countries, we pray for treatment that is successful. We pray for vaccines to come quickly, successfully, and safely. We pray for patience in this time, that we might not so quickly move and put one another at risk. We pray this day for all those who are suffering because of racism. We pray for peace. We pray for all good police officers who have spent their lives protecting people and who are being lost. We pray for all those who have misused their power, and we pray for healing for them and for enlightenment. We pray for our own country where there is still systemic racism, and we pray for healing and understanding between people of color and white. Help all of us to see one another as your children and see the goodness in all of us. Help us to face those parts in us that are not good. Help us to be better. Oh God, we give thanks that you are so good, and show us what that looks like.
God is so good.
pray this day for all those among us or those close to us who are ill. We pray for healing, for those who are undergoing cancer treatment. We pray for renewed energy and strength for all caregivers of those who are looking after those who are ill. We pray for courage and patience. We pray this day for all those among us who are grieving, whose hearts are heavy and break with sorrow. Lift those who grieve. We pray for all those who are feeling lonely and isolated and disconnected. We pray for unity. We pray that they may find connection, not only with others, with this community, but with friends and family and with you. We pray this day for all those who are graduating in 2020 without fanfare or celebration, and we pray that they would feel their sense of accomplishment in this next chapter as they move forward into an unknown time. We celebrate today with all those who are celebrating birthdays in this time, or anniversaries or graduations, and finding ways to be honored and recognized. We give thanks for the goodness that we discover in ourselves and in one another. Help us to live out of that beautiful space of love and generosity of spirit. May we look at one another with tender, soft eyes and see only the good in each other and forgive the not so good. And now in the silence, we bring before you our own concerns and we lift them to you, trusting that we place our cares with you. God, we place our trust in your deep and abiding goodness and know that you only want the very best for us. May we sense your presence among us as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught all those who would choose to follow after him in the ways of compassion and goodness and peace. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. One of the most beautiful psalms, and most certainly most familiar, is Psalm 23. And so we sing these ancient words from the Hebrew scriptures, being reminded in the goodness of our shepherd God, who walks with us always.
Bye.
this day into a whole new world that is very shaky and uncertain. But one thing we know, that our God is good and generous. Our God is gracious. Our God is the ground of our being upon which we can stand. Our God is guiding us and gifting us. We have everything we need as we move forward. Go forth surrounded in the goodness that is in all of creation, for which God looked upon the earth and said, "It is very good." Go forth in that goodness. And as you go forth, may the good God of love surround you, and the peace and the wisdom and the goodness of the Christ guide you in all you say and do. And may the Holy Spirit fill you with courage and strength and love this day and every day. Amen.